I'm singing news of great happy tidings. Lord Nityananda himself has opened a marketplace of the holy name in Sarabhi Kunj. The news of its great results is that he is selling the pure holy name in that marketplace for the price of only one's faith. Lord Nityananda, the proprietor of the market, seeing all the devotees becoming attracted, is selling them the holy name after bargaining with them. Oh, brother, if you want to buy the holy name, then go with me. We must go to the presence of that great soul, Nityananda. You will buy the name of Krishna, I will take my commission, all of our desires will be fulfilled. Lord Nityananda is greatly merciful. Taking only one's faith, he gives the highest ecstasy. If Nittai sees only one's tears in the eyes while chanting the name Gora, then he gives all resources to that person. He gives the pure teachings of Krishna to everyone and does not care for one's birth, wealth, knowledge, and strength. Now, giving up the illusory snare of Maya, either remain in household life or in the forest as a sannyasi, for no more troubles remain. There's no more fear of the age of Kali. The merciful Nityananda gives the holy name to even the Chandalas. Bhaktivinoda calls out, except for the lotus feet of Lord Nityananda, there's no other shelter. So this evening we're going to have a short slideshow. But I'll read a little bit first. Chaitanya Charitamrita. Jai Jai Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda. Jai Advaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrindam. Jai Jai Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda. Jai Advaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrindam. Jai Jai Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda. Jai Advaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrindam. So this is from Majjalila chapter 16, the Lord's attempt to go to Vrindavan. As in the previous year, one of the inhabitants of Kulinagram submitted a petition to the Lord saying, "My dear Lord, kindly tell me what my duty is and how I should execute it." The Lord replied, "You should engage yourself in the service of the servants of Krishna and always chant the holy name of Krishna. If you do these two things, you will very soon attain shelter at Krishna's lotus feet." The inhabitant of Kulinagram said, "Please let me know who is actually a Vaishnava and what his symptoms are." Understanding his mind, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu smiled and gave the following reply. "A person who is always chanting the holy name of the Lord is to be considered a first-class Vaishnava, and your duty is to serve his lotus feet." The purport, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur says that any Vaishnava who is constantly chanting the holy name of the Lord should be considered to have attained the second platform of Vaishnavism. Interesting. Second platform. That's a Madhyam Adhikari, someone who constantly chants. Such a devotee is superior to a neophyte who has just learned to chant the holy name of the Lord. A neophyte devotee simply tries to chant the holy name, whereas the advanced devotee is accustomed to chanting and takes pleasure in it. Such an advanced devotee is called a Madhyam Bhagavat, which indicates that he has attained the intermediate stage between the neophyte and the perfect devotee. Generally, a devotee in the intermediate stage becomes a preacher. A neophyte devotee or an ordinary person should worship the Madhyam Bhagavat, who is a Vaya medium. In his Upadeshamrita, Rupa Goswami says, "Pranatibis cha bhajantam isham." This means that Madhyam Adhikari devotees should exchange obeisances between themselves. The word nirantara, meaning without cessation, continuously, constantly, is very important in this verse. The word antara means interval. If one has desires other than a desire to perform devotional service, in other words, if one sometimes engages in devotional service and sometimes strives for sense gratification, his service will be interrupted. A pure devotee, therefore, should have no other desire than to serve Krishna. He should be above fruitive activity and speculative knowledge. In his Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, Srila Rupa Goswami says, Anyabhilasita Shunyam Jnana Karmajin Avritam Anukul Yena Krishnanu Shilanam Bhaktir Uttama. This is the platform of pure devotional service. One should not be motivated by fruitive activity or mental speculation, but should simply serve Krishna favorably. That is first-class devotion. Another meaning of antara is this body. The body is an impediment to self-realization because it's always engaged in sense gratification. Similarly, antara means money. If money is not used in Krishna's service, it's also an impediment. Antara also means janata, people in general. The association of ordinary persons may destroy the principles of devotional service. Similarly, antara may mean greed, greed to acquire more money or enjoy more sense gratification. Finally, the word antara may also mean atheistic ideas by which one considers the temple deity to be made of stone, wood, or gold. All of these are impediments. The deity in the temple is not material. He is the supreme personality of Godhead himself. Similarly, considering the spiritual master an ordinary human being, Gurushu Naramati, is also an impediment. Nor should one consider a Vaishnava a member of a particular caste or nation. Nor should a Vaishnava be considered material. Charanamrita should not be considered ordinary drinking water, and the holy name of the Lord should not be considered an ordinary sound vibration. Nor should one look at Lord Krishna as an ordinary human being, for he is the origin of all Vishnu tattvas. Nor should one regard the Supreme Lord as a demigod. Intermingling the spiritual with the material causes one to look on transcendence as material and the mundane as spiritual. This is all due to a poor fund of knowledge. One should not consider Lord Vishnu and things related to him as being different. All this is offensive. So one has to develop a proper spiritual vision. Just as we were reading yesterday, Aradhanam Sarvesham Vishnu Tad Aradhanam Tasmat Parataram Devi Tadiyanam Samarchanam, that the highest object of worship is Lord Vishnu, Krishna, but even higher still is the worship of that which is connected to Vishnu, Tadiyanam, especially that means the devotees, but also everything connected with Vishnu is worshipable. Just like Charanamrita, it is worshipable, actually. It should be taken with great respect. You always see people taking Charanamrita in a very respectful frame of mind, taking just a small drop. Prasadam also, to be respected, and one should meditate that this is non-different from Krishna, the deity. Anything connected with Krishna. And everything else in this world also, as Prabhupada pointing out it, to be used in the service of Krishna. The body, money, people should be engaged in devotional service. So one should avoid anything which is not connected with devotional service. So if there are some desires to perform some bodily activities which are not connected with Krishna's service, that will cause bewilderment and illusion and forgetfulness of one's spiritual identity. So this is an impediment for spiritual progress. So one should give up any bodily activities not connected with Krishna. One should give up any talk not connected with Krishna. One should give up thoughts that are not connected with Krishna. One should avoid using his money for sense gratification. And one should avoid the association of materialistic persons. And one should avoid hankering for mundane profit distinction and adoration. And also pointed out here that one should avoid atheistic ideas. So in this way we have to become properly situated. Properly situated means with respect and veneration for anything connected with Krishna and be able to distinguish between that which is spiritual and that which is material. That which is spiritual means it's used in Krishna's service. That which is material means there's forgetfulness of Krishna. Mm. So a devotee has to become very clear in his mind, not that he's all confused and mixed up. And we see many so-called spiritual people, people who are just in the material world, but they've maybe read a few books here and there, something about spiritual life. So they think they know a lot about spiritual life. And, you know, they try to put forward their own theories about what spiritual life is, just like we had that fellow the other night. You know, he was espousing his own, you know, ideas and theories that how it's just a feeling that counts. You know, so he's up there dancing in the front of the kirtan without chanting, and he's, you know, presumably just feeling love of Krishna. He thinks he's feeling love of Krishna. But this is some kind of, you know, mundane speculative idea that he's got. Of course, nice that he's coming to the temple, nice that he's dancing in the kirtan, but it's very unfortunate that he can't, you know, speak out or chant out the holy name of Krishna. Mm. So anyhow, of course, everyone has to start somewhere. But still, it's not very suitable in the association of devotees to be, you know, speaking out one's own philosophy and trying to, you know, consider that one's own philosophy is as good or better as the, or that he knows better than the Vaishnava devotees of the Lord, or that knows better than the Shastra. So that's the symptom of persons who are not properly situated. They can't tell the difference between the mundane and the spiritual. They think perhaps their mundane ideas are spiritual, and they think that the spiritual activities of the devotees are in some way mundane. So that kind of confusion is there in their mind. So they have to cut through this confusion by preaching from the Shastra, and by studying the Shastra and getting a very clear idea what is to be done, what is not to be done. Hmm. So the Mayavadis look on Vishnu and the Vaishnavas imperfectly due to their poor fund of knowledge, and this is condemned. In the Srimad Bhagavatam, the intermediate Vaishnava is described as follows. The intermediate Vaishnava has to love God, make friends with the devotees, instruct the innocent, and reject jealous people. So he sees four things. Huh? These are the four functions of the Vaishnava in the intermediate state. In Chaitanya Charitamrita, Sri Sanatana Goswami is taught, one who is faithful is a proper candidate for devotional service in terms of one's degree of faith. In devotional service, one is a first class, second class, or a neophyte Vaishnava. Hmm. So then it's quoting that one who has attained the intermediate stage is not very advanced in Shastric knowledge, but he has firm faith in the Lord. Such a person is very fortunate to be situated on the intermediate platform. Attraction and love are the ultimate goal of devotional service. The degrees of such attraction and love for God distinguish the different stages of devotion, neophyte, intermediate, and perfectional. An intermediate devotee is greatly attracted to chanting the holy name, and by chanting is elevated to the platform of love. If one chants the holy name of the Lord with great attachment, he can understand his position as an eternal servant of the spiritual master, other Vaishnavas, and Krishna himself. Thus the intermediate Vaishnava considers himself Krishna Das, Krishna's servant. He therefore preaches Krishna consciousness to innocent neophytes and stresses the importance of chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. An intermediate devotee can identify the non-devotee or motivated devotee. The motivated devotee or the non-devotee are on the material platform, and they are called Prakrita. The intermediate devotee does not mix with such materialistic people. However, he understands that the Supreme Personality of God and everything related to him are on the same transcendental platform. Actually, none of them are mundane. Mm. So, here, Prabhupada, in the same sentence, mentioned the motivated devotee or the non-devotee are on the material platform. They're called Prakrita Sahajya. It's a very neophyte and has all kinds of material desires within the heart, but nevertheless is a kind of devotee. And non-devotees in two classes, those who are envious and jealous and those who are a little innocent and ignorant. So a devotee, he has to preach to the neophyte devotees and also to those who are innocent and ignorant people. Those are the target for his preaching. But he should be careful not to mix up too closely with them. One should not associate closely with a devotee who's not properly situated. Just give him some good advice and try to change him so that he becomes properly situated. Properly situated means he's submissive to his authorities and he acts in accordance with the desires of the society of devotees in consultation with them. He doesn't do things whimsically, but rather if he has some idea, he likes to consult with senior Vaishnavas and get their blessings, get the guidance, and move on a path which is approved by all, or I mean as many senior Vaishnavas as possible, so that he's not going to come up against unnecessary impediments. If one does things which are against the desires and blessings of the senior Vaishnavas, then he will certainly run into obstacles, because Krishna's desires are expressed through the senior Vaishnavas and Krishna's blessings come to us through them. So if we run into some conflict with them, this is a dangerous situation. So a sincere person, he should adjust himself. Even sometimes he has to give up some of his own ideas or his own desires. That doesn't matter. These things can, you know, they can be given up. Even we may be very attached to someone. It can be given up if we have some superior direction from Guru or from the senior Vaishnavas. So we should try to adjust our lives to satisfy them. And then the path of progress back to the spiritual world becomes open. But when we displease them, it becomes blocked. So we should try to preach. We should try to be on that platform ourselves, and we should try to preach to others to come to that platform and to give up wild, independent ideas which cause one all kinds of trouble in spiritual life. I'm just reading on a little bit. The following year, the inhabitants of Kulinagram again asked the Lord the same question. Hearing this question, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu again taught them about the different types of Vaishnavas. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, a first-class Vaishnava is he whose very presence makes others chant the holy name of Krishna. Purport, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur says that if an observer immediately remembers the holy name of Krishna upon seeing a Vaishnava, that Vaishnava should be considered a Mahabhagavat, a first-class devotee. Such a Vaishnava is always aware of his Krishna-conscious duty, and he's enlightened in self-realization. He's always in love with the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, and this love is without adulteration. Because of this love, he's always awake to transcendental realization. Because he knows that Krishna-consciousness is the basis of knowledge and action, he sees everything connected with Krishna. Such a person is able to chant the holy name of Krishna perfectly. Such a Mahabhagavat Vaishnava has the transcendental eyes to see who is sleeping under the spell of Maya, and he engages himself in awakening sleeping conditioned beings by spreading the knowledge of Krishna consciousness. He opens eyes that are closed by forgetfulness of Krishna. Thus the living entity is liberated from the dullness of material energy and is engaged fully in the service of the Lord. The Madhyamadikari Vaishnava can awaken others to Krishna consciousness and engage them in duties whereby they can advance. It's therefore said in Chaitanya Charitamrita, Lohaki Yavad Sparsi Hema Nahi Kari Tavad Sparsha Mani Keha Chinitena Pari. One cannot understand the value of touchstone until it turns iron into gold. One should judge by action, not by promises. A Mahabhagavat can turn a living entity from abominable material life to the Lord's service. This is the test of a Mahabhagavat. Although preaching is not meant for a Mahabhagavat can descend to the platform of Madhyam Bhagavat just to convert others to Vaishnavism. Actually, a Mahabhagavat is fit to spread Krishna consciousness, but he does not distinguish where Krishna consciousness should be spread from where it should not. He thinks that everyone is competent to accept Krishna consciousness if the chance is provided. A neophyte, an intermediate devotee, should always be anxious to hear the Mahabhagavat and serve him in every respect. The neophyte and intermediate devotees can gradually rise to the platform of Uttamadhikari and become first-class devotees. Symptoms of a first-class devotee are given in the Srimad Bhagavatam. When teaching Sanatana Goswami, the Lord further said, if one is expert in Vedic literature and has full faith in the Supreme Lord, then he is an Uttamadikari, a first-class Vaishnava, a topmost Vaishnava who can deliver the whole world and turn everyone to Krishna consciousness. With great love and affection, the Mahabhagavat observes the personality of Godhead, devotional service in the devotee. He observes nothing beyond Krishna, Krishna consciousness, and Krishna's devotees. The Mahabhagavat knows that everyone is engaged in the Lord's service in different ways. He therefore descends to the middle platform to elevate everyone to the Krishna conscious position. All right. Any questions? Question or comment?
Sometimes when you describe a devotee, you say, oh, he's a man.
No. Why? It says here, the Vaishnavas of Kulina Gram, the inhabitant of Kulina Gram, so he's just, isn't it? Just to distinguish, you know, so where they came from. It's all right. But not that we think that, you know, that's actually who he is. He's an American Vaishnav. He's not an American. Vaishnav from America. This lifetime. Preaching in America. Whatever. Any other points? Yeah. Well, here it says, Prabhupada says, he quotes Upadeshramrita here, and he says that the Madhyam devotees exchange obeisances between themselves, but he says a neophyte or ordinary person should worship the Madhyam Bhagavat. So, Madhyam Bhagavat, as referred to here, means persons who are basically actually, you know, initiated, following the regular principles, chanting 16 rounds, and they're, you know, say like an ISKCON, that practically an ISKCON, you can say that's a Madhyam Bhagavat. It's a broad category. Of course, there's Kanishta Madhyam, 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 Uttam, you know, there are different stages of Madhyam, broadly speaking, but persons who are, you know, just ordinary persons are just very new neophytes, they should worship those devotees and respect those devotees who are properly situated steadily on the path of Krishna consciousness. And those devotees should offer obeisances among themselves. Those, you know, devotees who are just as devotees do in ISKCON, right? That would be my understanding of this passage. Any other point? Yeah, or you just keep your distance, you know. Prabhupada said, be respectful but not associate closely. Maybe not reject the person altogether if he's a devotee. I mean, it depends, of course, on his behavior, but, you know, If you see there's some response, then you can go on trying to help the person. But if the person is basically not very responsive, but still he comes and he does maybe a little service or whatever. So, you know, one should just be respectful and keep a distance. That's all. Well, obviously a devotee has to preach from realization, but still he can repeat the instructions that are there in the Shastra and Prabhupada's books, those instructions that he knows to be correct. You know, even if he can't, even if he's, you know, on a sort of an off day, he's not feeling so good or whatever, you know, still he can repeat, and he'll benefit by hearing, and the instructions are proper, so the other person will also benefit. Of course, his conviction and ability to actually convince others depend a lot on his actual realization of those instructions. So there'll be more potency if he's more enlivened, enthused in Krishna consciousness, and he's more clear in his mind about the real effect of following the process. You need to just be able to have more strength to convince others. But even if he's a bit weak, still if the instructions are proper and a person somehow takes them to heart, well then, you know, benefit is there. Prabhupada said even a neophyte devotee working under the guidance of an advanced devotee can turn other people into Vaishnavas. So, you know, main thing is that one is following properly. It was a conversation actually between Prabhupada, I think it was, and some Christian priests, and you know, they were saying that, you know, they were sort of criticizing Prabhupada a little bit, that you got all these young men and young women and they're following all these rules and regulations, but you know, in their minds they may not be, you know, they may be thinking of all kinds of other things. So that's hypocritical, you know, better not put on such a front. That was the basic line of argument. And Prabhupada was, you know, he was saying, well, you know, it's not so important what's going on in their mind. I mean, that's important, but it's a secondary thing. Most important is that they're following the process, because that's the only way that they can come to the stage of actually getting their minds under control. So first you have to, you know, get the general framework. I think we were discussing the other day also how, you know, nishta, steadiness, will be attained on three levels: bodily, vocal, and mental. First, you know, usually bodily, and then vocal, and then mental. You see, so it takes some time to get all these different facets under control. So even if the mind's not, you know, completely under control, still one should, you know, keep his senses under control and his words under control, and by doing that, then his consciousness gradually becomes purified, and then he gains strength and realization, and so his preaching becomes more effective. Okay. Any other points? Right. Thank you. Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita ki. So now there'll be a short slideshow.